For us to begin our Bible study, glad to have everyone out this morning. What a beautiful Lord's Day we have, and we're looking forward to the period of study together and for our worship this morning. In just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer as we begin our study. We're continuing today in our study of does God love and respect women? And the answer to that, as we defined in week one, was a definite yes. We've been studying various women from the Scriptures, and we're going to continue this morning with a study of Ruth. A beautiful story. I think we'll all enjoy being reminded of the faith and the heart of a woman named Ruth that's written about in the Old Testament. So we'll begin that study in just a moment. I want to thank everyone. Many of you have been participating in the ongoing support of distributing supplies and unloading trucks for Churches of Christ disaster relief effort and helping in locations across our state. I wanted to give you just a quick update that today at 12:30, Lord willing, the 18th truck in a little over a week and a half will be delivered to the Helen Street congregation in Fayetteville. We have 11 more trucks that are ordered and on schedule for this week. And so please continue to keep all of those individuals impacted in your prayers. There was a gentleman, Brother Paul Sowers, S-O-W-E-R-S. He is from Kentucky. He was working with the disaster response team, another organization down in New Bern the other day, and he suffered a very serious stroke. He remains in critical condition. His family is with him from Kentucky, and he's at the hospital in Greenville, the last I understood. So please continue to keep him in your prayers. I do also want you to pray for each of the congregations that's working so hard to respond to individuals. I got a call yesterday, last evening, that the congregation in Hamlet, which took a truck in Laurinburg, North Carolina on Friday, we unloaded that truck late Friday afternoon, and yesterday they served 175 families that were impacted. One of the congregations, the Moorhead City congregation out on our East Coast, distributed a truck last Saturday, and they distributed to 65 families in a short time on Saturday afternoon. And on Sunday morning, they had 15 visitors from those families that they had distributed to that worshiped with them for the first time. So let's continue to keep all of those efforts in your thoughts and prayers, and remember that what we're doing to help people is to try to help them physically, but more importantly, to help them spiritually. Let's bow for a word of prayer before we begin our class. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for the blessings that you've extended to each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of being able to come together this morning as a congregation of the Lord's Church to study your word. We pray, Father, as we continue in our study, that everything that we say and do will be in accordance with your will, and that we might apply these things to our lives so that we might be better servants in your work. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings of all of those who've helped those that have been impacted by the storm, and pray that you continue to be with them, give them strength and courage. We're thankful, Father, for our congregation here, and we pray for those who are not able to join us this morning due to sickness, and we pray that you'll be with them and help them that they might return to their state of health. We're thankful for all of our blessings, but most of all, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Ruth. What a beautiful story. In fact, Ruth is described as one of the greatest love stories of all time. The book of Ruth is relatively short. It's only about 80 to 90 verses. It is not a long description. But this story encompasses so many different things. There's so many different elements of love and graciousness demonstrated by each of the individuals in this account. And I'd like for us to focus on those today and learn from that. We want to look at these passages and see not only this extraordinary love, but also the faith that's demonstrated by so many people. If you would turn with me to the book of Ruth, we're going to read selected passages. Unfortunately, our time will not allow us to read the entire book of Ruth, but I encourage you to do that on your own, just as a reminder of the beautiful story between Ruth and everyone that's mentioned here. We're going to begin in Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, as we set the stage. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So let's talk for just a moment about life in Moab. Moab was to the east of Bethlehem, and this was a country or a land that was extremely fertile. It had very good agricultural conditions. And so when the famine hit, they were able to go there for relief. However, it was a very pagan culture. It was a hostile environment. There had been a lot of hostility between the Moabites and the Jews for many years, from the beginning. This land was a land that was inhabited by descendants. In fact, it was Lot's daughter that led to this particular group of people, the Moabites. But they did not have a good relationship. And it served as a land of refuge during a severe drought under very extreme circumstances. Now, you have to imagine that for a faithful man from Bethlehem in Judah to take his family and go to a land like this, it had to be really bad. It had to be very severe. And yet, that's what they did. And there's every indication that they remained very faithful in this evil land. However, as is often the case, and as was warned about in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, when the people of Israel went to a land where the evil existed, what happened? Their children married, and their two sons married two women from this evil land of Moab. So it's not a surprise when we think about that the issues that arise from intermingling and not following God's commandment continually caused challenges. The people of Moab were evil. However, the two sons married daughters of Moab. And now, they're left as widows. Three widows. The mother-in-law and the two daughters are left as widows at a very young age. And so as we continue on, Naomi continues with her love shown for her daughter-in-laws, beginning in verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me?" This is the first example of love, and we see this love. If you read into these scriptures, you read what it says. It says that Naomi said, go back home, go back to your mother, go back to your land, go back to your people. But what does it say that they all did? They wept. You can just imagine the emotion, the love that was there between Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Let's just think about that for a moment. Naomi has shown so much love for her daughter-in-laws. She's releasing them from any responsibility that they might have had to her. Here she is, an older woman. She's a widow. She's lost her income. She has no one to protect her. Her daughter-in-laws are saying, "We're going to stay with you. We're not going to give up." And she's saying, "Go. You're young. You have a long life ahead of you. You have the opportunity to have children. You have opportunity to find another husband. Go." She expresses a genuine love for them. And that's one that, that's something that we can't overlook as we begin to think about this story, the heartfelt love between a mother-in-law and her two daughters. It's a beautiful thing that we have to think about there. So Naomi wants to go home. Think about that. She's dealt with all of this. She's dealt with the loss of her husband. She's dealt with the loss of her two sons. And she just wants to go home. What characteristics do we see about Naomi? What do we see about her faith and her love in these passages? Your thoughts. Yes, sir. We're not there yet. Not there yet. What do we see about Naomi up to this point? I can appreciate that, but she's telling them, go back to what you know, go back to your people, go back to your house because you're a young woman. Right. You're true, but we'll see in a moment what that response is. What else do we see? What characteristics of Naomi come out here that, that are going to be important for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. And Naomi is also a person who, I believe, has a strong faith in God, because here she is. She is homeless. She's a widow. She has no income. And yet she's willing to endure a very difficult trip back to her homeland. She has faith that God's going to protect her. And that's something that is important when we face trials, is do we have a faith that God will oversee and protect us? And Naomi does. So then, continuing in verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And the next passage in Ruth is one of the most beautiful, often quoted. Ladies, I'm sure you've studied it many times in ladies' classes, but one that, in fact, there's a beautiful hymn that's written to these words. Ruth 1, chapter verses 16 through 17. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful words of Ruth. And we see so much in this. And Brother James, that's what I'm... this is the part where I think you're absolutely right. We see the importance of the faith that Ruth has developed. Ruth has been born and raised in this pagan culture. She has not been exposed to the truth about the Lord Jehovah. And yet, she has been a part of this family. She has seen the faith of them. And it's clear that she has determined that that's going to be her faith going forward. That she is going to go with Naomi, and she's going to stay with her. The scriptures tell us that after Ruth made this impassioned plea, it says that Naomi stopped trying to talk to her to try to convince her otherwise. Because we see the depth of Ruth's love and devotion to her mother-in-law. And that she is going to go with her. She's going to stay with her. And this passage is one that should give all of us comfort and encouragement in difficult times. So Naomi and Ruth are going to return to Bethlehem. The challenges are that Naomi is an aging widow without income. Ruth is a widow. Ruth, in addition to being a widow, is a foreigner in a land that is not friendly to the people from Moab. And she has no income. She has nothing. She has no one to protect her. And in that time and in that era, it was extremely important that people have a source of income, a source of protection, especially for women, that they be in a situation where they did not have to worry about how they were going to make a living. But Ruth's faithfulness and her steadfastness to her mother-in-law is demonstrated in this beautiful passage. So when you think about now the relationship between Ruth and Orpah and their mother-in-law, what do you see in their characteristics in those individuals? What comes out to you when you read that? So the comment for those that you might not have heard was, obviously, they had a strong faith in God. They didn't know where they're going to live. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they had a strong faith in God. What lesson can we apply to ourselves today when we face adversity, when we have difficulty, when things look like they're hopeless? What lesson can we take from that today? Paul says, keep on keeping on. What does that say about us? What does it say about... do we have a strong enough faith to sustain us through those difficult times? I think that's the question. And we need to build in ourselves a strong enough faith so that we can handle adversity. The things on this world matter very little. Anything, any of you that have been down and helping with the storms in the past few days, you've seen that. When you drive down a street and you see every single physical possession that somebody owns, and it's in a pile, a waterlogged pile sitting on the street waiting to be hauled to the dump. Everything, every stitch of clothing, every item that they had in their home. When we think about what we have in our houses, what does that matter? Sure, we have sentiment for it. We have appreciation. It has value according to our monetary system. But at the end of it, what does that matter? It matters nothing because that can be gone in a heartbeat. It can be gone in just a matter of seconds. What matters is our faith. What matters is the love that we have for the Lord. What matters is how we live our life, not what we accumulate. Johnny. Johnny's pointing out that it doesn't matter what your income or socioeconomic level is, that we're all equal in the sight of God. We all have a soul. And that's what matters, and that's what we should focus on. I've been to some of those situations before, and I've used the comment that whether you're rich or middle class or poor, the only difference is the size of the pile of rubble. It doesn't matter. It's gone. But we all have a soul that God loves, and we have to make sure that we put our priority on the things above, not on these material things, because they're not ours and they can be gone very quickly. So how difficult would it have been for Ruth to leave Moab and go to this foreign land? You pointed out that, you know, this was an evil land. But Ruth had faith. She said that your God is going to be my God. So how difficult would it be for her to leave the land that she'd been raised in with her family, to go to a land where she knows that they don't really like you?
I think that all boils down to trust, just like you got to trust God. If God will provide, and Paul being in prison, he could write to brothers and say, rejoice, again, I say, rejoice on his circumstance, because he had an outside circumstance dictate why he was redeemed. So,
I think that's an excellent point. It's her faith in the God that she had come to know through Ruth and her family, through Naomi and her family and her husband, that was going to sustain her. And she had strong enough faith to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to leave the land that I grew up in. I'm going to leave the land of my family. I'm going to leave the land that I've known, and I'm going to go to a place where, going in, I know they don't like me. Let's think about that for a minute. This demonstrates Ruth's faith in the God of Israel. It demonstrates to me her love for Naomi, but also for her husband. And it demonstrates the true character of Ruth as loving and selfless. Yes, sir? Good point. Absolutely. That's an excellent point. If you didn't hear that, it was that when they were faced with a similar decision to leave Los Angeles to come to Durham, she said, "Where's Durham? I don't know anything about that." But she came because she had faith and she had love and she had trust in God and trust in you. That you're going to lead it. We're going to see a perfect example of that coming up a little bit later in the study this morning. Yes, Kathy. Kathy's pointing out that's the relationship that we need to have with God, and that's a great example. So let's continue on. Yes, yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. The comment was that what they have in common is their faith and belief in God, and that God is going to protect them no matter what. The Scriptures tell us that He will not leave us or forsake us. And He did not leave or forsake them during extremely challenging times. What I'm just struck by is the courage of these women in this day and time, given the culture that they lived in, to take on and to have such fortitude, to have such courage to go on is really very encouraging. Let's continue on reading in chapter 1, verse 19. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" So when you get to the point where they return to Bethlehem, what we have to understand and what we have to see is that they are excited. The women are excited to see Naomi return home. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Remember, they have no income and no means of support. But Ruth has these characteristics. She's hardworking, she's loyal, she's gracious, and we'll see that she's very humble. She goes out into the field because she, verse 3 of chapter 2 says, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers amongst the sheaves.' So she has come and continued from morning until now." So the tradition was, and in the Old Testament, it's even written in the early pages of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that They leave a field that they leave a little bit that falls along the wayside for people to glean. That is, for people that have no other way of getting food to be able to go in and gather up literally what's fallen or what are the scraps, what is out in the field, to leave a little bit for them. There's a lesson in that for us too, isn't there? God has always provided for people who are willing to work. And God has provided for the people that could not have another means of getting food to go out into the field and to gather up and to glean the fields. Ruth is not lazy. Ruth is very aggressive in terms of her desire to provide for her and Naomi. And she goes out into this field and does it in such a way that we're just going to see in just a moment that she's going to reflect well on herself and on others. But Naomi has encouraged Ruth to go on out and do this, and she's chosen a field that is owned by a man named Boaz. So Boaz comes in verse 8 of chapter 2. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." This is your point exactly, brother, that people were watching. Ruth didn't know people were watching, but it's been reported Boaz, the man that she had come to work in his field, says, "I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know that you left your home, you left your mother and father, you left your land, and you've come and to take care of Naomi, your mother-in-law." He has a tremendous amount of respect for this young lady because of what he's heard about her. That should be a lesson for all of us. When you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're doing whatever we're doing, be aware somebody is watching. Somebody's watching. When you do that act of kindness, when you do that act of Christian faith, where you do something and give something to somebody in the name of the Lord, somebody's watching. I want to encourage you that, again, referring back to the past 10 days and the many of you that have gone out and you've given out a food box, you've helped somebody, you've talked to them, you've helped them in a time of need. Somebody is watching. I don't know when that's going to make itself manifest, but everything you do, when you do an act of kindness, when we live our Christian lives the way we should be living them, people are taking notice. You may not be aware of it, but they're watching. And you can do more to help further the spread of God's Word by how we live sometimes than anything else that we do. Living our Christian lives in a way that brings glory to God. And that's what's happened here, is that Ruth's behaviors were noticed by Boaz. When we think about Ruth, Boaz cited certain reasons for taking care of her. We mentioned those. What other things do you think were noticed about Ruth? Hard worker. Absolutely. She worked all day long. How about, did she do that saying, "Woe is me? Man, I've had a tough life. Look at what's happened to me. Lost my husband. I'm a young woman. No one to take care of me, and I'm having to work pretty hard."
Yeah,
James is pointing out, not only was she working hard for herself, but again, she was taking it home to Naomi, her mother-in-law, who couldn't go out and work. What are the characteristics that people would say about us? Do you think we'd have the same type of things said about us? That we love God, that we are hardworking, that we take care of others? Take just a few seconds and reflect on that. If somebody's looking at us, and we know they are, what are they going to say about each of us? Are they going to say that we're demonstrating our Christian faith, that we're doing, that actions speak louder than words? David? Well, and I think David's comment is about the people that are amazed that these trucks are coming from Nashville. It's more important that everybody recognize that these trucks are coming from the Lord's people, that these are individuals and congregations that have sacrificed and given for that. It's a very important thing for everyone to know in these places where they're being assisted that it's not Nashville, it's not the organization that's sending that, it's that local congregation that's willing to take and to give those things out in the name of the Lord, and to ask those people to think about not only their physical needs but their spiritual needs. It's a wonderful opportunity, Jim. Interesting. Sure. Jim's pointing out that people do notice the acts of kindness, and that results usually in additional acts of kindness. And so it is. I was at a drive-thru at, I think it was Chick-fil-A, a few weeks ago, and I was pulling up, waited my turn, placed my order, got to the window, and I got my wallet out, and they said, that's been taken care of by the person ahead of you. This was long before the storms. This wasn't anything to do with anything. This was just a regular day here in Cary, and somebody had paid for my order at Chick-fil-A. And so, to your point, it made me think, well, I'm going to pay for the one behind me. I don't know how long that went on. If everybody kept doing that, I don't know who paid for what, but it was an interesting thing, and it gave me a little feeling of a really positive feeling of warmth, that there's still that love and compassion even in our community, as large as it is, and you don't know the people, that was still going on. And I think you're right. Acts of kindness lend themselves to further acts of kindness. Yes, sir. You don't think that's how it got started? Okay. Yes. I'm sure it was, yes. But it, nonetheless, that little act of kindness caught me, and it made me feel very, very good that day. And I don't know who the person was, but I felt good for him just for having that feeling. Yes, sir. I think Kathy's pointing out that when a need exists, people tend to come together. But excuse me. But the important thing as we go back to Ruth is that she did what she needed to do. She didn't ask for special treatment. She's out there working. And as a result, then Ruth's life is going to change dramatically. The clock is ticking. Yes, Floyd. Absolutely. Floyd's pointing out that people were watching that she left, and when she made that commitment that we read about earlier, that beautiful passage, she was committed to her life in this new land, and she was committed to Naomi. So her life is going to change dramatically. I wish we had time to read all of these passages. They're absolutely beautiful, but we're not going to be able to. Let's just understand it to say, and I think most of you know the story and the account, that Ruth continued to work for Boaz. Boaz continued to make life as easy for her as possible. And it says that in verse 20 of chapter 2, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." And as we continue on, what we find is that Naomi is going to play a bit of a matchmaker. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So even at this time, after everything they've been through, Naomi says, "Aha, here's an opportunity." And she's looking after Ruth, not for the immediate, but what's she looking at? She's looking at her future, saying, "How can I make your life better for you going forward?" And she's encouraging her to follow up with this man. And we see that Boaz responds accordingly. Yes, Ozzy. Yes. How are we told to work in the servant, as a servant of the Lord? Wholeheartedly. Absolutely. Yes. Whatever we see, do it, and do it with fervor. Right? Ozzie's pointing out that that's what Naomi and Ruth did. They did it without hesitation, and they did it in just the way that God would have them to do it. So, we continue on in the passage. In verse 10, then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all for you that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." All the people of my town, all the people in Bethlehem know that this woman who came from a land where they did not have a good relationship, this woman who came from Moab, the vile, sinful world that it was, this woman that came from a people that they did not associate with, they all know this woman, Ruth, and this is one of the greatest things that they could say about her. They all know that you are a virtuous woman. What a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment for Ruth. And all she did was to live her life according to her faith. Now, it goes on to say that Naomi counseled Ruth that night. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how this matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." You can call it woman's intuition. You can say whatever you want. But Naomi knew that this man, he was gaining an affection for Ruth. He was taking care of her. He knew that there was a legal obligation and opportunity that he could participate in to pay off the land of her husband, and that he could take care of Ruth going forward. And Naomi said, "Here's what we're going to do." And this is where she plays a little bit of matchmaker, and she sends Ruth in to what really amounts, if you were to categorize it according to today's standard, Ruth went in to make a marriage proposal to Boaz. And she did it, and she did it in such a way to protect Ruth's reputation. Boaz did the same thing. Boaz went through and he bought the land that her family had owned. And what do we see in Boaz? What are the characteristics? I've listed four up here. What do we see as Boaz and how he responds to Ruth? Elaborate on these if you want to. How was he kind-hearted? What did he do that showed he was kind-hearted? Yes. I'm sorry? Smitten. Good. Yeah. Very good. Yes. Christina's pointing out that what I don't have listed is that he was smitten. He was taken by Ruth. And that's allowed him to demonstrate these characteristics. Excellent point. And I think that that's something that we should also learn. What begets something good is those behaviors. So because of the way Ruth conducted herself, Boaz was smitten by her. And he's going to take care of her. How does it demonstrate his honor by what he's doing with Ruth? Absolutely. Ozzie's pointing out that it just built on itself. In fact, it tells us that she gleaned as much as a half a bushel of grain that she took back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Yes? He did. He valued that. We're running out of time. I'm going to finish this last part because we can't finish without this beautiful end of the story. Verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the women, neighbor women, gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi,' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." So Ruth is gracious and loyal. Naomi is loving and caring. Boaz is faithful, loving, caring husband and father. But this is the story that I want you to take home today. God respects and values women. We saw Eve, the mother of all living. Sarah, the mother of all nations. Rahab, a horrible life that was redeemed by her faith and today Ruth, loyalty and love. The greatest part, one of the greatest parts of the story of Ruth, concludes in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, continuing through verse 6. I'll just read certain portions of it. Abraham begat Isaac. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 1. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. This is a wonderful, beautiful story. Thank you all for your time and for your attention.